Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove, between the demo and the ready room. Hey, come on out this Friday the 13th. They've got all new music, happy hour going on, records spinning. They got new vinyl in store from The Cure, The Lines, Young Magic, Devil Driver, Wolf Parade, Modern Baseball, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Greatest Hits, and all kinds of other stuff. They got a fantastic local selection as well. Come out, take a look at that. Lots of CDs, tapes, and vinyl. And if you'd like your here, have some of your stuff on the shelves, contact them about that and getting some of your CDs on the shelf at Music Record Shop. For more information about any of this, find them online on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, we're The Fade, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Yay!
Yay. Oh, yeah. Okay, do we have... That's pretty bad, right?
That was pretty bad. Is that the charm of it, though? Is it supposed to be bad? No.
How about we are The Fade, and you are listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Cast.
No. I'm done.
And that's cool with Shane?
Yeah.
All right.
Works for me. I'm putting this whole thing there.
Including like the sloppy. Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
You going?
Yep.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Belleville, Illinois.
There's a pause like, where am I?
What am I doing here?
Well, I thought about going to Bell Vegas.
That's classic. True, yeah.
I hear that. You know, that's what the kids are saying these days.
Dagtown.
But yeah, hanging out in Belleville with The Fade. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hey.
I don't think it meant great. Did you mean you?
Yeah, I guess a lot of these, when I start with the bands or multiple guests, I like to go around the room. Everybody say hello and introduce yourself so we know your voice at home. So who wants to start this off?
I'll start. I'm Ryan, and I sing and play guitar in the band The Fate. That's all I do.
That's all he does.
You next.
Songwriter extraordinaire.
I'm Christopher, or Christo, as they say.
I don't say that, but he...
you say Christopher, that's true. But I play guitar and occasionally saxophone with The Fade.
Not to be confused with saxophone. Different instrument.
Different instrument.
Totally different.
Very different.
I'm Devin, I'm the bass player. Yeah. Is that good? I do good?
That's great.
You do great.
You're so good. I'm Anne, I play the drums, and I'm the only girl in the room, so this hopefully will be easy for all the listeners at home.
I am Devin, I am the bass player.
Was that a Simpsons reference with the saxophone?
It was. Saxophone.
Oh, yeah. You have to do that when you pick up a saxophone. You have to. It's just part of the rules.
It's vital.
It's just like, you know, whenever you see somebody playing bass, you have to yell, slap into bass, man.
Slap into bass, man.
So.
Never gets old.
Yeah. Never. You guys ever heard that one?
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
Or yelling out Freebird at concerts, you know? It's just,
you know, we actually, yell. We've never had that.
Yeah.
Have we not? I thought somebody might.
If we have, it's been like me shouting it on stage.
That was it. That's what it was.
Other than that, an audience member is, we've never had that happen yet.
Right. Well, after this, though.
Maybe.
And now it's going to have you jinxed us.
Right. Yeah,
so. Every time now.
You're welcome.
Every time.
Now that we're world famous. Yeah. We're not the band world famous. They're a good band. But we are also world famous now.
Yeah.
Because of this podcast.
That's true.
That's how it happens, man. Rock Paper Podcast, you know, and then...
Today,
you know,
Rock Paper Podcast.
You guys are on the
world. The world.
You guys are on Cribs. but yeah, no, thanks for having me out this afternoon.
Yeah.
We did a little live jamming on beforehand, and sounded really great, and you guys got a lot going on. You got the EP out now. You got some dates coming up. Mm-hmm. So, I've known Christo. What did you say?
Yes, they say.
I've known you for a while. Through we met. You sat in on the Hillary Fitz episode a while back.
With, the sheep.
The sheep
EP.
Yeah. Enjoying your delicious Flying Mine burrito.
Always
you said.
Good.
Yeah.
Always a good time.
Hanging out over at Atomic Cowboy. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, so we met. I guess that was that night that we met. Mm-hmm. You were sitting in with the band, and
yep.
And then we got to talking a little later on. He said he got this project and mm-hmm. wanted to talk. So that's how I came about discovering the band. A little backstory for everybody.
How long ago was that? I can't even remember.
I think it was like January or something.
That sounds
maybe
about right.
Or February.
It was cold out. I was wearing a jacket.
Yeah, somewhere in there, Larry. But I just released the episode. It took me a while to release the episode because I was like, I thought about just scrapping it because it got a little loud.
Yeah.
Richie Kilkin Band was tuning up during the interview. And
yeah.
And, but I was like, I cut the worst of it off the end of it, but I aired, you know, most of it. And it turned out pretty good. Went ahead. I was like, I'll forget it. I'm just going to run it. And
why not?
So
you got it,
YOLO.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, that was a fun night. And then, but I'm excited to get to know all of you and, talk about this record or the EP. And, I was listening and I really, really like it.
That's really good
cool,
stuff.
You're just saying that.
This is a, like right in my wheelhouse of like what I like. You know, I like rock and I like blues driven rock and this like it felt like there was a lot of like I said those blues tones, a little soul and stuff, and it's all actually I don't like to like full on compare. Sure. Not saying you sound like people, but it was like reminiscent of like a Black Keys kind of a sound,
The number one comparison that we get actually.
Yeah, somewhere I feel like it's somewhere in there.
And, I think it's Ryan's voice that does that a little bit.
Yeah,
too. Right. Yeah, I would agree. I think it's Ryan's tone, and then with the blues guitar and stuff. I mean, it's just a good reference point for people to. I mean, Black Keys are huge right now. So,
oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to say Maroon 5 or something.
So. Yeah, that was the next one. Yeah. They speaking of those guys though, there's a video just came. I remember listening to it on the air a couple years back, but Adam Levine, mm-hmm. and I think he had Train as the backing band though.
Okay.
But they played at Howard Stern's birthday bash.
Really?
And they played Purple Rain.
That's right, yeah. I heard about that.
And Adam, like, just crushed it. I mean, yeah, it sounded so good. So after Prince's death, the video of that moment came out on YouTube and stuff, so it's been circulating. Adam's got a crazy voice, and it sounded really good on for him. And he's a fantastic guitar player, too. So
they're all good musicians.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's just a shame that, like, they kind of went that... I mean, they're making... millions and millions of dollars,
right?
But I mean, you listen to early Maroon 5 compared to what they're putting out now.
Demo thing that you showed us.
Yeah, so their first album, "Songs About Jane."
Yeah,
there's a demo version of the album that you can. It's on Spotify, I think.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
And it's like the kind of the demo before they returned into the
studio.
Right, yeah. They're a little different. They're like way more like
rock and less pop. You know?
Yeah.
Well, weren't they like something like Kira's Flowers or something like they had like another
before
name
before the
yeah they yeah. had another name before they stuck with Maroon 5 and like they had a I think that record's online too so
oh cool
it might be a lot of what the demo and stuff too. Very but cool. I don't know, it's kind of hard to listen to, like it just wasn't like great quality and stuff because you know it's still
sure
early on in their probably garage band kind of days and stuff, so but it's kind of crazy how they've made it, that success story of being huge now, yeah.
Yeah, I would take it.
Yeah.
I would sell out.
That's the point.
Dan Auerbach was just in town back to the Black Keys. He was playing with the Arts. You went to that show, right?
Man, that show was so good. Like, I was going on about it with a bunch of friends, and I really had no idea what to expect. I listened to maybe like two songs on YouTube just to kind of get an idea. I'm a huge Black Keys, Dan Auerbach fan.
Yeah.
I knew that they were coming to town, and I kind of wanted to save it to see it live for the first time.
Sure.
And go in with an open mind. And so I hadn't listened to the record yet, and I went into the show and just blew me away. Like it was, they had a lot of orchestration on the. It was like they had two drummers,
wow.
And there was times they would play in unison together, and then there was other stuff like where he jumped. The one drummer would get up and he'd play guitar on a track. He played little hand percussion drum stuff, and then he they had a keyboard player who also played sax on a couple of songs, and then they had a bass player and. Another guitar player, and then Dan played lead and sang, and then they had these this mariachi group open up the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, four female mariachi players.
Wow.
And I missed that because I had to work and I got there a little late, but like I pretty much got there like as they were like, okay, stick around for the Arcs, thanks, I didn't get to see them play, but some people were talking about how great they were, so I need to go look them up. So I don't know their name, I forget, but three of those four women joined the stage for as like his background singers there. They had their the platform over there.
That's
and
awesome.
They jumped up and when they joined, they still, along with background vocals, they also played trumpet, guitar, and tambourine and stuff. So it brought a lot of sound with them. And,
that sounds awesome.
That's yeah. Really cool. And it was like, I was, you know, dancing all night, real funky stuff, and just like, you know, a lot of, it really, I mean, it wasn't very far off of what Black Keys, like early stuff was. Mm-hmm, that kind of reminded me of more of like Rubber Factory or something like, you know, in that era. Yeah, so,
Anything that guy touched turns to gold. I mean, yeah, that Lana Del Rey, no. But I've listened to the album, though. But yeah, that whole Lana Del Rey produced record was awesome.
Yeah.
The one that the one that he produced for her.
He's really become a fantastic producer. He produced my friend Patrick Sweeney's record.
Nice.
They grew up together in Akron, Ohio, and both live in Nashville now. I bought the record. I got it on vinyl now, so I'm excited to spin it on the record player and see what it sounds like. Cool. The live experience was, and especially in the pageant, like it was great venue. And it was maybe only 1,000 people or something. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the balcony open, so it was just the first main level. And it was kind of weird. Like, you know, I wrote on Facebook something about it, but I was like, just kind of crazy to think that Black Keys were in town not too long ago, and you know, 40,000 people or whatever at the arena.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Dan comes to town with his own, you know, a different band, and so I don't know. I don't know if it.
Just a lack of knowledge that it is Dan.
Yeah, they are a brand new project. I listened to him on a podcast on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he was talking about like he's been doing this for a while. Like they're all pros, all these musicians, and they got in the studio and they were jamming, and they did like he said they have like 70 something songs or something together.
Wow.
And it got to the point where they were like, why don't we just make a record? And so
might as well.
Yeah, so they went ahead and cut this record, and now they're out doing it. And
that's really cool.
It was cool. Like Joe asked something about money, you know, and how that kind of gets worked out, and he's like, you know, these guys all like flew into Nashville on their own dime, and you know, cut this record because you know I'm sure they're all just thrilled to work with Dan.
Oh, sure.
And but I mean, they'll figure out money later. But it's cool that like nobody's doing it because they're
That wasn't the first thought.
Yeah, right. They're just coming in here to have fun and you know make a great record. So, but yeah, like it's solid. So anybody who doesn't have the Arcs record, go pick it up. So
yeah,
right after you pick up the Fade EP.
That's right.
So yeah, let's talk about this EP though. So we got 5 songs and available on physical and digital copies. And they can pick it up, what you said, iTunes and Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And of course, any live shows.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're on Spotify, you said?
Yes, sir.
Working that out?
Yep.
Yeah. There's kind of this, like, this Greek band called, that has the same name. And, like, we're kind of taking over their Spotify.
Yeah.
You're going to hear this podcast and come track us down.
Yeah.
All the way in Greece.
Yeah. I had, the other night, I recorded with the Moon Bandits, and they used to be in another band called Orange Tree, I think it was, and I was unfamiliar with Orange Tree, and I was looking to try to find something online, and I think I went on YouTube or whatever, and I typed it in, and I think it was like Swedish or something, it's like... some kind of, and it was just like, I tried to listen to it I knew it wasn't them, but I tried to listen for a little while just to see what it sounded like, and man, it was weird, and it was hard, really difficult, it was like...
But you're a better person because of it.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. I'm very cultured now, and, yes. But I was talking to those guys about that, though, I was like, you know, yeah, I typed in it, and I was like, yeah, I think it was some Swedish band or something. He's like, yeah, that was us. And yeah, so it's just like, but it is difficult. And, you know, especially with the internet, you know, we're all, we're going worldwide. Yeah, it's hard to find a unique name that nobody's thought of or something, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to naming. I bring it up because I find it interesting, but the guys here in town talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got some of their albums.
Yeah, I love those guys. They're great. And but that TOK is like the abbreviation for Tokyo Airport and stuff. Like that. So,
every time you search.
So you get a lot of things. You always have to type in like talk band or whatever it is to find them and things. So
they just got an RFT nomination too, actually.
Yeah, all kinds of buddies from the show were nominated, so that was...
Yeah, because for the Fade, you'll get the video game Dragon Age first.
Yeah.
That'll show up.
Yeah, you probably put St. Louis or...
We're getting there.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Well, you guys are still, like, a pretty new project, right?
We are.
Yeah,
like,
just, maybe about a year, honestly. A solid year of working together.
Right. Yeah, we kind of started before that, which is, like, Ryan was our next-door neighbor for a while.
Yeah.
We kind of started just hanging out and jamming a lot.
Yeah, a lot of jamming.
And then we've got the ball rolling.
We'd write like 7-minute songs.
Yeah, nothing very productive.
They were all pretty
super
epic.
Fun.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of decided to take it more seriously.
Yeah.
And then we knew Anne. Christopher and I knew Anne from like orchestra and musicals and stuff. She's she was kind of a classical percussionist.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then, so we brought her in.
Very cool. Yeah. So we're about a year, and then did you guys write a lot of these 5 songs together? Then once you started, you know, getting serious about it, or
it's been an interesting process. I would say none of the songs have actually been like the same. Like they've all been approached quite differently. Mm-hmm. Like our very first song, which ended up being an 8-minute song. That was just kind of Ryan, Devin, and I just kind of messing around. And then we started recording it, and we had this, like, grand string section. And, like, we need to, like, cut this down. So a lot of our music starts off way longer than it needed to be. So we ended up kind of cutting things down. And then we were really kind of on board with doing just weird stuff at first. Like, our single, which is also out, which I forgot about. Paper Bricks, which is only available on our website. I actually do saxophone on that one, and we tried to do some really weird, like...
You had, like, violin
avant-garde, like, violin.
It was a violin, saxophone, like, double solo thing.
Like, we were just trying a bunch of,
like, really
stuff.
It was really dissonant.
It was amazing.
All of it was pretty cool. But,
we were, like, inspired by Shostakovich or something.
Right. Nerd alert.
Yeah.
but it was just kind of hard at first to kind of figure out, like, what a sound was that we wanted to have, so we just kind of went to every end of the spectrum to kind of find it out. I mean, even the EP kind of, no two songs kind of sound quite the same, which is, we do kind of like having variety. But
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm been big on that. Like, I think that's partly my problem with pop music today is there's a lot of it that sounds very similar.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to get into it whenever you're like, and it's kind of like, I'm sure you guys all see that thing, but like, there was somebody put together like a supercut of all these like country songs
that
all like had the same lyrics, the same melodies and stuff, whatever. They're all like all interchangeable and stuff. And I feel like that's that's a problem. I mean, granted, a lot of those songs were also produced by the same people stuff like that. Yeah. So there's that, but I mean, we can't just have a formula to make a song, you know? It's like...
Right.
It's
Like,
I mean, it makes sense because, I mean, they're just trying to quickly pump out likable music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which works because all the songs that were on that were like...
Hit.
Yeah, hits.
Yeah.
These huge pop country hits.
Right. Like, I can't knock it, but it's like...
Sure.
I don't want to do that.
The artistic value of it is
if they pay
questionable
me,
or...
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be the only thing I did, though. That's something.
Sure.
But yeah, I want to hear a record that has those ups and downs, and and takes you on a journey. You know, it's like you want to hear some things that are different than that, and not just an hour of the same song. So,
yeah,
and those are the records that stick out. You know, I mean,
right,
like Pink Floyd's Wall,
does that more on like an album by album basis.
Right.
But like,
yeah,
just variety is something that we've definitely strived for.
I mean, and you know, you go, I hit play on my like our shuffle on my iPod or whatever, and it goes all over the place. So it's I like a lot of different stuff. I just want, you know, it's nice when it's all kind of on a one record. You get a lot of different stuff and influences there. So
that's an interesting challenge with songwriting, is that like we all like a lot of different things.
Right.
So whenever you go to like write something, it's like, well, which one of our
backgrounds do we want to focus on?
Yeah. What are some of those influences and backgrounds that you guys bring?
Well, I mean, whenever I play bass, like what got me into bass in the first place, this is kind of cliche, but I, you know, just Paul McCartney was really awesome.
Yeah.
I like, and he has a lot of kind of Motown influences too. I like kind of thumpy, active, you know, old school Motown type sounding bass lines.
For sure.
Stuff like that. So yeah. I try to keep like a subtle but active, you know, bass
right.
going.
Yeah. I know my kind of favorite music to listen to that I've always kind of wanted to emulate is more the indie, like, psychedelic side, which is really kind of hard to integrate, like, without, like, being cliche. So, a lot of, like, guitar tones and stuff, I try to emulate just kind of a more indie tone to it.
Mm-hmm. Way to go.
That's me.
Nice work.
That's me. It's my buddy, Colin.
Hey, Colin.
Hope you're listening. Shout out to Colin.
Yeah, shout out to Colin. Yeah, he's in a band called Bantam Foxes that actually played our EP show with us. So,
yeah,
if you're ever down in New Orleans, check them out. But yeah, my background is a little more on the indie side of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of alt rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Indie alt rock, definitely.
For sure. Yeah.
I was into the, you know, the cliche, like, classic rock. I mean, that's, like, my thing.
Yeah.
Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and all those guys, and then when I got older, I started listening to more kind of off the wall stuff. Actually, went and saw Andrew Bird at the pageant.
I was there. We both saw him. We didn't go together, but we both.
You didn't come and see me. Like, I was going to try to find you afterwards. And
oh yeah, I was just trying to get out. You know,
trying to avoid you.
It gets scary.
I just ducked the whole time, so you wouldn't see me.
Radiohead, I like Radiohead a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we all have kind of different.
Yeah.
Vikings. That's pretty cool. What about you, Anne?
I don't know. You know, it's going to sound weird, but yeah, I feel like I like so many different things. I almost don't want to consciously think about what my influences are because I'm worried. I get in my head a lot. So, like, I just kind of want to just relax and just whatever seems to come out as
right,
it comes
right.
out. Because otherwise, I'm like, oh, I want to sound like the drummer from this band. Or, yeah. you know, I don't want to, you know,
right.
like, I don't want to think
well,
about
it. Well,
it's
scary because then it's like, why do they listen to the music and they don't sound a gosh darn thing like that?
Yeah,
yeah
you know,
exactly.
Like...
So, I'm like, sure. I just kind of. Yeah.
Just let it be kind of
I hope it's just like a combination of all the different things. Yeah,
of
all the different things that like all mixed together. I don't know, yeah.
I mean, theoretically, that's what it should be, though. You know,
right.
like, okay. you should be borrowing from, or, you know, you say, like, even if you like Mozart or whatever, you know, you borrow this piece from that and this, and that makes you, you know,
yeah.
So you want to borrow and... from everybody.
And it's how it evolves, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
for sure.
As music keeps developing and we get new ideas, like, there's a lot of fusion is what makes things go
yeah.
forward.
Right. Totally. I mean, rock and roll...
Not jazz fusion.
But not jazz, yeah.
Rock and roll became popular off of old blues licks and
exactly.
stuff. And, you know,
yep.
like, so they were... It's just, and that became what it was, you know? But it's all... It all evolves into what it is, so...
yeah.
Yeah, you know? But I think that's... I think that's what makes everybody... An artist, though, is to borrow from each other to where until you even find your own sound in it and your own voice. So
yeah.
See, but he wouldn't know what I sing along to in the car right now. It's Franz Ferdinand, but
that's
okay.
I could have guessed that.
This yeah. fire, or what's that? Or just the?
I like the self-titled one
yeah.
the best, but
I like that song a lot. That this fire is.
I've always wanted to like play that song.
It's fun to sing along to.
Yeah.
We,
that's oh, yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
yeah.
Occasionally we turn cover band. We've played a wedding or two or a private party, and one song that I don't know what it is, we love the idea of playing it, but for some reason we never have fully...
Take Me Out
yeah,
is
we've
one
never,
of the ones we tried
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
We just never seemed to fit right.
Right.
Yeah, just...
It's harder than you think it would be.
Right.
It's such a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have these ideas like... you know, just I hear songs and like I'm like, man, that'd be a cool cover, like for somebody
mm-hmm.
else, like to you know, like I hear something and I'm like, I think I've tried to pitch it to bands, like I hear like old 80s like pop songs and like I want to like pitch them to my metal friends and
right.
stuff to do
yeah.
stuff, you know, just
I mean,
like
a well placed cover can be really
yeah.
good. Like I remember I had saw I think Bruiser Queen came to Edwardsville and they did these boots are made for walking, and I just
right.
thought like just I don't know why to certain things like oh my god that was just like the perfect song
yeah.
for you guys to do, like, and like we're hoping, you know, to find those too.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah, if you think of anything for us, let us know.
Yeah,
right. yeah, we're just inspired.
Ideas.
Yeah.
right.
Please.
I had a guy on the other night, Matt Kennan. He's more of a country singer songwriter, type stuff, and he put out a cover of Faithfully on his record, and from Journey, and his voice is like the complete other end of the spectrum than Steve Perry. Steve Perry's you know, way high on that and things, and Matt's is really gravelly and low, and
nice.
And so like it's really unique
right off the
because
bat, it's totally different,
right? Because you don't think anything of Journey when you hear it, because it doesn't, you know, it's completely different, but
right.
But it is it's a great cover song to throw in there, and it's like, and that's kind of what I love about, you know, when people do make a cover, they make it their own and put their own twist on something, and not just play it, you know, verbatim to how it was and on the record. And
yeah, that's kind of the cool thing about being in an original band, is that when being in an original band and doing a cover is very different from being in a cover band and doing a cover.
Right.
Because we can kind of, you know, we don't have to try to sound like the original song. It's better if we don't really
sure.
do something cool with it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is, it's funny, I can't think of a good example at the moment, but I've been at shows where they've done a cover, and it's like, man, there's something, you know, it's like, it's something there. Like, you're like, this sounds familiar, and then all of a sudden, then the chorus kicks in. They're like,
right.
Oh, okay, yeah, oh, no. It's like, so sometimes I've had where it's a little farther off from the original, where it's hardly recognizable until you catch those lyrics and stuff. And, you know, Baby Got Back or something.
Oh, my
God. That's awesome.
No, I don't know.
I think probably Billie Jean's probably our most popular cover, it seems That's what gets the most response, I'd say. But
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billie Jean. We got a lot of really good response from
Ain't No Sunshine.
Ain't No Sunshine. Stray Cat Strut was another really big one that we've done. Like, we're not a rockabilly group at all. Like, we're not Brian Setzer or anything, but it's like,
we're not.
Right?
What?
But people always dance to
what is my life?
Foxy Lady's been a good cover that we've been doing too.
I like that.
Yeah. We need some new ones though, so.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to pitch us some ideas, listeners included.
I have these friends. They go by Sophisticated Babies. That's
I like it.
Adam Huckey and
Adam Huckey, and
Cody
yeah.
Henry, both
Cody's cool. He tracked on Hillary's EP actually. So,
yeah. Both in Funky Butt Brass Band as well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But they and Sophisticated Babies, they are a ukulele and tuba duo.
Okay,
and I've seen them do Foxy Lady. They do a lot of covers. It's all covers, but it's I've seen them do like a 4-hour bar set, and they play all covers from. They did Deborah by Beck.
Awesome.
They do
that's a big Beck fan.
Yeah, that's all right. They do like ELO, the Beatles, Foxy Lady, which that one really impressed me to see. I mean, there was like obviously some serious electric guitar going on in that song,
sure.
and him to pull it off on a ukulele is pretty impressive. And then Adam's like throwing it into the speaker and stuff, getting the feedback and
that's
all
awesome.
That, so like it was really cool. But man, they it's fun to see what they do with it, especially being two obscure instruments for what they're playing. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I'm on Facebook right now.
Yeah, they played last night. When we're recording this, I missed their set, but yeah, they play out quite a bit when they can, and they're a lot of fun to watch.
It's lucky that.
Yeah,
was it Oyster?
Yeah, Oyster? So they played. So there's another side project for Ben Reese, who was a former sax player in Funky Butt, and Aaron Chandler, who is trombone in Funky Butt. They have another side project called Cooter and Hoss, where they do like more traditional country cover stuff.
That's awesome. That's
and they so have good. They're working on originals too. Anyway, so it was Sophisticated Babies and Cooter and Hoss opening up for Al Holiday and the East Side Rhythm Band last night at Off-Broadway. And then they went, Aaron, Adam, and Cody had to go and play the Funky Butt gig at Oyster Bar. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, no, those guys, it's just, you can tell they just love what they do. I mean, they're always up there having a great time and smiling and hanging out with buddies. So it's cool to see, and it makes for me it's infectious. You know, it's a when I see them having fun, I have fun. So it's but yeah, I think that's the key to a live show, man. Like, is just to bring energy and have a good party of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So So yeah, we kind of touched. You guys had the EP release party, and that was that one at Foam? Is that right?
That was actually at Blueberry Hill.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Right, and then but the last one was at Foam.
Yeah, the last gig we played was at Foam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was with a cool band from Texas called Shivery Shakes.
Yeah,
and they are actually on like a kind of a tour right now. Super nice guys.
Yeah,
they're fun.
And then the other band was I Could Sleep in the Clouds, which is a St. Louis local band. Okay. Kind of dreamy stuff. So it was pretty cool. It was a good show.
I like them.
Yeah. Was that your guys' first time playing Duck Room?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as that bassist band. Yeah.
That's a great little room, man. I loved it.
It was a lot of fun.
I felt really comfortable there. I don't know. Yeah. I think everybody had such a good time. Well, not just because of the music.
It was a packed show, too.
That's always more fun as a performer, too, when you have a big crowd. Yeah. You know, like...
Yeah. It's much
feed the ego.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was with Gemini Hustler, which they're a local group as well. And then, like I mentioned earlier, Bantam Foxes, they're a New Orleans-based band, and they're pretty righteous.
Yeah. I'll have to look them up.
Check them out.
I gotta get my chilled mug here.
Chilled Schlafly mug of cold, crisp Mountain Dew.
Proud sponsor of the Rock Paper Podcast.
That's refreshing.
I wish, man. I could use some of that Mountain Dew money.
Yeah.
Or Schlafly money.
Well, I'll take anybody's money, right? Yeah. You will also sell that, right? Yeah.
So, we got some dates to speaking of the live shows.
Yeah.
So May 20th at America's Tavern, that's over off the Grove there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And May 27th at Milt on Cherokee, and that one's with Marie and the Americans. You said, and mm-hmm. Who else is on the
John Valley?
Mm-hmm. And who's on the America's Tavern show?
The band The Danaides. And then we are not quite sure who the other band is just yet.
That's still being worked out.
To be determined.
Right.
Yeah, the Nadies is a pretty cool, like, they're very blues.
Okay.
June to be determined. We're working on that
yes.
right now.
Yeah. That America's Tavern's a pretty nice little spot, too. Like, I've been my friends, Skyburnt White, did a music video shooting there. Like, they did a whole show with them and Krabby Travy. And The Faded Truth, and they allowed me to host it. And
nice.
I did like, you ever watch Tenacious D? Like the series?
Okay.
A little bit.
Well, I think they sort of kind of did they've done it, the joke a lot, but they had Paul F. Tompkins as their like the MC of the open mic when they in the series. So, and then when I go on stage, you know, like Paul would read, like, yeah, the next band asked me to read this, and it was like, you know, just always something crazy.
That's so much fun. Yeah. I remember that.
So I sort of did that joke went to the when I was hosting. So
that's great.
It's pretty fun. I was like, he says something like, yeah, the next band asked me to read this, Molly Hatchet, Black Sabbath, and AC/DC couldn't be here tonight or whatever. but they all had sex, and this is their two-headed baby, Tenacious D. And like
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I tried to do my best Paul F. Tompkins impression and do
nice.
It. But, awesome. Yeah, the video shoot was fun, though. It's a cool little room for it. I mean, like, you know, it's a good-sized little spot for have a good time over there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so those shows are coming up, and then hopefully some big summer plans, huh?
I hope so.
We're working on it. Yeah, we're trying to do some more out of town stuff. The last out of town gig we played was in Columbia, Missouri, at the Bridge. Interesting gig. We were on after a burlesque show, so we were slipping and sliding on some glitter. So,
yeah.
Very interesting. It was actually a David Bowie themed burlesque.
Oh, huh? That's right. I forgot.
I can't unsee some of the things that I saw.
I don't want to.
But yeah, we're gonna try to shoot for maybe Kansas City or Chicago. Just.
Yeah.
Kind of leaving the
nest
a little bit.
We're writing some new songs. And...
Yeah, we're working on writing some new tunes as well.
Yeah, I would say right now that's one of our stronger focuses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been kind of playing out on you know, our EP songs for a while now, and we are looking forward to getting some new material out there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple things in the works, so
mm-hmm. Yeah,
pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys record the CP?
Right here.
Right here.
Right here. Over
here. You're sitting. That spot.
It's a little Ray Finkel moment here, you know? Like,
not yeah. Ben Winkle.
That's Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty then.
Sorry, I have to make sure people know my reference.
Right. I was thinking what you're talking about.
I wasn't sure about that one, yeah.
Sorry. That's sorry. anyway, that movie's the best, though.
It's classic. So, yeah.
I mean, we are surrounded by a bunch of classic movie posters, so
we are
indeed.
I figured I might as well drop some movie quotes for you.
Yeah,
this is the Tarantino dungeon.
Classic movies like Ace Ventura.
That's my next poster. I need to get, yeah.
You should get that.
We'll get you one. You should.
I always I use it, the quote quite a bit, but when he's in the office there and he's chewing on the sunflower seeds and he's got them all over his teeth and lips and. And he's like, ashtray? And he's like, no, I don't smoke. It's a disgusting habit.
That's yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Disgusting habit.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is cool. So we're right here. This makes it a little...
Ground Zero.
What do we call it? Mercy Studios?
Mercy
right?
Studios.
Named,
my
cat.
Named after our cat.
I was wondering what's going to let you say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mercy Studios, named after Devin's cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devin's been building the studio down here for quite a while, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a bit of equipment.
Call Devin for all your recording needs.
Right, I would say this is less of a studio and more of, I have recording crap in my basement. But, you know, I can get the job done.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
So, whatever, I mean, are you the only band that's recorded down here, then?
I mean,
we've
had a few, like, just friends come through. Like, you recorded a rap guy. Was that here?
That wasn't here. That was where I work.
We've had friends who are like, oh, like, can you record this violin piece for me? We were going to have Nico's band.
Then their drummer moved or something.
Yeah. What was the name of that band?
Something Gringos? I don't know. Nico and Gringos? I don't know.
I don't remember.
Gringos is involved in the name.
Yeah. Gringo...
Nico and the Gringos? I don't know.
I don't remember, but... for the most part, it's mostly just been us down here.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, my comfort level kind of increases as I go. It's like... Actually, Ryan and I both studied recording at SWIC over with Dan.
Dan Mierman, yeah.
Yeah, and then Christopher's following suit.
Right, I'm in the process of... Yeah.
Yeah.
Engineering certification. That's fine.
I'll be the only one who has.
Well, she's going to go next year. I'll go with you, so then I'll just relearn.
But, okay. Yeah, speaking of, the guy who kind of taught us all about, like, studio engineering and audio engineering, he's in a band called Dropkick the Robot, and he actually mastered our album at Jettison Studios, so he's a guy to go to in town.
Yeah, he's super talented.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing. They actually just played on St. Louis, or STL up late the other night, too, so if you caught him there.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That's, it's a pretty great idea, though. I mean, kind of cut out the middle guy, you know, if you can record a lot of it on your own and things and make it sound good. Like,
I mean, you
learn a lot, too.
Yeah.
You learn by doing it. It gets better
with every song.
There are pros and cons to both. I mean, there were definitely moments when we were down here when we wanted to, like,
shout out to somebody else do this for us.
Or each other,
Then we go back, like, we had recorded, like, one song, and then we waited a while, or... It just sat there for a while, and they had to go back and re-record it because we had changed so many different things since that time.
Yeah,
like,
I'm always like
getting
new equipment and stuff, so it's like I'll record something, I'll get like a better microphone, and it's like, I'll do
that
again.
I think some of that too. Like, I mean, like you're saying, pros and cons. Like, I think there is something to also having a third party or like a good engineer or producer will like. Was almost like the fifth member of the band or whatever, to where like they can tell you, no, that sucks, let's cut that, and like whatever.
Yeah,
like
sometimes you hear it so much yourself, you get so into it, it's almost hard to look at it objectively.
Having that outside perspective on something. Mm-hmm. So
we've been pretty good about being able to say no, that sucks.
Yeah,
we're pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
we can take criticism
if it doesn't go with the flow.
from
music. Ryan can't, he cries.
I was just going to say, not me! Why would you be so mean? No, just kidding.
But, I mean, we try to shoot it out to friends occasionally. Yeah. Hey, what do you think of this? Like, right. What are your thoughts on it? So,
yeah.
Well, we like to play the songs out quite a bit before we record them, too, because they kind of just morph.
Oh, yeah.
And then you find, oh, I wish I would have done that the whole time, you know? Cool, yeah.
It was cool because we started playing these songs live for quite a while, and then eventually we went to the studio to record them, and it's like, you know, I'm going to change this. And mm-hmm. it changes what you do, and it makes the song like that much better, you know? Mm-hmm. You think it's cool for a while, and then it's like, why did I do that?
What if you, like, hear it back in the recording context, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. I'm a big fan of The Urge.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be a part of their 20th anniversary of receiving the Gift of Flavor a little bit ago, and they re-recorded the whole album live in front of an audience.
Oh.
And it was like over in Webster Grove, like I don't know, I think it was like an old theater or something like that, or
nice.
Something along those lines. I forget the name of the building, but anyway. They went in there and they played the whole album, you know. They had it all set up in the middle and the fans were all around the outsides there. And it was just a really cool experience. But I bring it up because, like, so they cut that record 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they've been playing it, those songs, for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then they went and did it live. And the live recordings of it now, like, I mean, the songs have evolved, you know, not a lot. But, you know, they have changed over the time into where, so they play... They recorded the record how they play them out now and mm-hmm. stuff. So it's kind of interesting to see how even after, you know, 20-something years, the songs have evolved to what they are and stuff.
Right.
So I'm sure if you guys are still playing this material in 20 years, it's going to sound way different than the recorded version of it. So
I mean, we hear differences. Like occasionally we'll just throw down like a demo or a scratch of it, and then we'll go back and listen to it. And it's like, whoa, this is totally different.
Yeah. So I threw your picture online and I asked if the fans had any questions for you all.
I know you asked one. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What's your idea?
Bo's comment was hilarious.
Oh, about who took the picture.
Yeah, our buddy Bo took that photo of us kind of sitting in the grass. And
It is kind of funny. Like, usually, sometimes they're for real. Like, most time it's just your buddies leaving wise ass remarks right. and stuff. So it's always fun to see what happens, he asked the guy who took that picture must be incredibly sexy. Is he currently seeing anyone? So
is he?
I mean, are
he's
are
not.
Are you guys?
Good. That's good. Plug for
if anybody wants a photographer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How would you describe Bo?
He's such an awesome guy.
I don't know. We like Bo.
He's delightful.
My husband's best friend. Yeah.
He's delightful.
He's
great.
Yeah. Delightful. He's a good guy. Yeah. That's all I gotta say. Yeah.
And then Gavin, a friend of the show, I recorded with his band, The Daisy Ad, out here. I mentioned being in Swansea, and he wanted to say, tell Ryan that he is a great singer, and Devin that he is a great multi-instrumentalist.
Thanks,
Gavin.
That's
a good guy.
Yeah,
some love.
You went to school with Gavin. Did you go to school with him too?
No, we met, I don't remember how we met. I think he found me on, like, online,
mm-hmm.
and we communicated through like, a...
the interweb?
I think it was SoundCloud.
Gotcha.
Maybe. Yeah. And we, He was like, oh, there's a guy for Belleville. We just kind of... And he opened for me a few years ago at, Cicero's.
Yeah.
I show what you did there.
Yeah. During your solo
career. Yes, solo career. Right.
Yeah, I knew Gavin from music theory class over at SWCC back in the day.
Yeah, we just recently met, through the show. We have a bunch of mutual friends, a bunch of people, other people, from Belleville and so on have been on, knows, have been on my show, and he's, introduced himself, and I think through Brotherly and the Leather Jackals or something along those lines, and we've been talking and had him on the show, talked a little Daisy Ed and stuff, but it's kind of crazy how St. Louis is a fairly big city and expanded out. I mean, obviously Belleville and all those other surrounding areas.
The burbs.
Yeah, and it is kind of crazy how intertwined this whole music scene is, and how we're all connected, even though, you know, it's like the whole
degrees of separation or whatever. Yeah.
So it's fun to I bring it up too, like how there's a lot of people that I had on the show a year ago that are like, you know, some of my best friends now and stuff like that, and like it's just, we just met through music and stuff. So it's been really fun to be on this journey of doing the show and meeting all kinds of people all around town and like yourselves and getting to know a little bit more behind the scenes and the music and stuff and
it's all intertwined.
Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, the band Gemini Hustler that we played with, it's kind of funny. We first played with them at a venue called 300 State up in Alton, and the singer Zach, he comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, are you Christopher Bachman?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I was your brother's gym partner in high school." You know, it's like, which also, if you know my older brother, it's hilarious. But yeah, it's like you never know who you're going to bump into and how they're going to know you.
Sure.
Kind of makes you want to always be in your A game, though, because it's like,
you never know.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, my day job, like, everybody's related, I found out. there's a lot of, I mean, not everybody, but like, there's a lot of family members that are, I work for a school district.
I was just going to say, where do you work?
Yeah, so.
Nepotism.
Yeah.
No.
So they're all, so there's a lot of people, like, you know, they're either by marriage or, you know, brothers and sisters or whatever. Kind of
yeah.
So it's like, you learn to not say a bad thing about anybody because it's all going to get back. So it's like, until you figure out all the connection, you got to like, excuse me, but yeah,
just complain to your friends,
right? Yeah,
you're just, like, don't do that.
Yeah, so but yeah, it's funny how small this world really is. So
yeah,
yeah. Well, we can. We played the two live songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one you heard was called "Stealing the Moon," and the second one you heard was called "Better of Us," which are both on the EP.
Yeah.
And they both recently got airplay on KDHX.
That's true.
Which I'm pretty excited about.
Which programs were we on?
Cat Pick did it.
Yeah.
With Emotional Rescue. And then Nick did it on Space Parlor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm. Pretty cool. Yeah.
Getting some traction with KDHX is always good.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good people to be in company with. So, I'm. I've had a couple. I've mentioned on past episode, but I've had a couple of those guys, Chris Ward and Jason Robinson, have been on the show, and they both do shows over there at KDHX. Nice.
Chris does the Loud Quiet Loud,
right? Yeah.
The acapella program on Sunday mornings. I work with the woman who runs that, which I thought it was kind of weird because she does not look like she runs an acapella.
Yeah.
No.
Acapella hour, but she does.
Very cool. And do we want to put a studio track on too, or?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, which one would you guys,
maybe Light of the Mass? Well, you can either do Time,
Light of the Mass would sound, yeah.
I think Light of the Mass is probably the cleanest recorded one.
Oh, I was going to say Time Capsule. I like that one.
We can do that one. I don't feel strongly, but Ryan, what's the word?
You get to pick. Light of the Mass is probably the most different from the other two.
Yeah, I like that one because it's a good. We actually recorded it like last.
Yeah, it sounds really
good. So I had all the best stuff at that time.
Yeah.
So I like it the best because I know I had the best stuff on it.
Or,
all about the stuff.
And that was also our first song we ever recorded. It was, like I mentioned earlier, it was 8 minutes long.
Initially. Stealing the Moon used to be like 8 minutes long too, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that
it was
like
not.
Long?
It was like 5 minutes.
It was 8 minutes.
Oh, no, it was long. And then we
Stealing the Moon
cut it in half.
Oh, no, yeah. That wasn't that one.
But yeah, so we ended up just taking out a whole middle section of this.
Yeah, at some point we're going to release that, like, 8-minute version somewhere.
Yeah.
Just as a freebie online.
Yeah.
Or just as a, you know, just for kicks.
For sure.
It's a great version.
What, is there any, besides the recording and stuff, is there any, like, stories still behind it all, or lyrics or anything, or?
Huh.
I'm out. Yeah, you guys all take that one.
Usually you kind of, like, start with, like, a stanza or so.
Yeah, Ryan's kind of the lyric guy.
Yeah, he'll start it, and then if he can't finish it, I'll usually...
Yeah, Christopher does a lot, too.
Just kind of chime in with some lyrics.
And... Yeah. I wrote Ceiling the Moon, I think, mostly.
Yeah, that was like, that you wrote that a while ago.
Yeah, I wrote that a long time ago. I don't even know what I wrote that about at this point. A lot of times I'll put a line that meant that was a thing that happened, mm-hmm. that, and that's it, and then I'll move to something else. So this mm-hmm. song doesn't necessarily have a full story. It has a whole, you know, whole idea in it.
Sure. Like one thing inspired something, yeah. and you kind of branched off from there.
Yeah,
I remember there being something you said about something. Like, yeah, the girl that was drunk.
Yeah,
so the girl was drunk at a party.
There's a line. There's a line where it says, "Save me from the girl with the spinning room," and it was I was at Denny's, and a friend of mine that was a girl came in totally drunk, and like she was like bat like mean drunk, you know, like so drunk that it was like she's being really not cool.
Yeah, a turd sandwich.
A turd, yeah. A turd burglar, if you will.
On rye.
And she, yeah, so that's what that line. But one of the other, I don't even know what the rest of it could be, you know. Yeah. I'm kind of, and I like the idea of people kind of getting their own, depending on the song, I'll write a song, right. with a specific thing sometimes, but most of the time it's kind of like, it's specific to me, and I like the idea of people kind of relating to it in their own,
for sure. Yeah,
it's kind of like way. Impressionism or something.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, it is.
Now, when I ask, like, I don't really mean to, like, I mean, because I don't. Yeah, like I said, music for me is meant to be interpreted however yeah. you feel. Exactly. I don't. When I ask like that question for purposes like because a lot of these sometimes there's interesting stories exactly. like to how things came about and right. stuff. But mm-hmm. but I don't. You know, say so, like. I don't ever expect somebody to tell me, like, this is how I'm supposed to feel when you hear it. Like,
right.
like it's kind of funny hearing some of the background to how a song came about right. being a song and stuff. I have my buddy Gabe, a Skyburn White I mentioned, like, you know, he writes all the lyrics to the stuff. He won't tell you what any of the song, I mean, they're mm-hmm. all, he's like, whatever it is whatever you want it to be. He's like,
right,
you know,
yeah.
so that's... he doesn't want to take away from your experience right. and listening to it. And,
Because
there's been times like I listen to a lot of Sturm Show, and you get these people in and they kind of tell some stories, but and it's like, and then you find out like, oh, that's what it's about. Like, well, that kind of
ruins it for you. Yeah, like,
right. You know, yeah, I had this whole other thing in my head. Right. Like, you know, it's like
yeah. meeting your favorite radio personality. You're like, that's not what you're supposed to look like. Right. I know. Yeah, exactly. yeah, I've already decided in my head what you're.
Unless it's obvious, I like the idea of.
Just leaving it open. Yeah,
leaving it open. Yeah, there are no main like stories for a lot of the music. Lyrics is gonna come.
I mean, it's funny how we a couple of why we covered a couple of them is like Battle at Bush.
Oh, that's right.
yeah,
it was funny.
Christopher didn't like talking about Battle.
No,
Bush.
No. we got third place. It was a bummer, but it was
good.
Awesome because
we
lost to
together.
Unifia.
Yeah.
And
I don't remember the other one.
But I mean, coming in after Unifia's. I take it, you know. I mean, they're pretty.
That was the first show we had ever played.
Yeah,
together.
We sort of like we were getting started as a band, and like we just kind of signed up for this.
We hadn't
played out before.
We did not anticipate being like accepted, you know.
it was just kind of like, let's just do this.
We'll put our names in there. If they say they want us, we'll play it. And then
third place.
We didn't hear back, and then eventually they're like, "Hey, one of the other bands dropped out. Do you guys still want to do it?" We're like.
Sure.
And it was like a couple
sure.
weeks.
Sure,
like
we had one song. We only had one song. So
It was Light in the Mast, I guess.
What? Yeah, that was the only song that we... Paper Bricks, too.
Paper Bricks, yeah.
Those are the only two we had, actually. And then we needed like 15 minutes of music. So we're like, let's write some music now. So
exactly. I remember I was so nervous about it. I had a lead sheet because we just barely knew the songs,
right.
you know? Like, yeah.
yeah, that's whenever we wrote Time Capsule and Better of Us.
Yeah. Right, so yeah.
We wanted, like, upbeat songs for, you know, because the point was, you know, doing the thing. We're like, we need some, like...
We need cool rock songs for
the Right, yeah. Well, yeah, we wanted something that kind of fit with the point sound, definitely. So we definitely scrambled to get those together, but we did.
right.
And then
they ended up being...
We won that first round, and then they're like, all right, round two, and they're like... Shit, we need a rainbow music.
it was inspiration. It really got us going.
Yeah.
Then after that, we got you know a chance to let the songs kind of blossom and become what we really wanted to be. So.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, it's kind of funny. You're so unprepared. People are like, do you guys have a website? We're like, oh, we should probably do that. Do you have anything? We had nothing.
Here, I can write my number on a piece of paper for you.
On a hot dog napkin.
Just text me.
So we've become more sophisticated than, you know, social media-wise and website and whatever. But,
website.
No. Yeah, we have a website.
Anne's great at managing the online presence and the website.
Just the website. I'm not a good Twitter person. But I try.
Brian, you've been great at Twitter lately. Twitter. Congratulations.
I hate Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
Can't do it.
I hope Twitter isn't listening.
Yeah. Don't listen to Twitter. I didn't mean that.
Twitter's always listening.
Sorry, Twitter, worst. I love you.
Please come back.
I hate writing stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm always like nervous.
I always had to force him to do hashtags.
Oh, anytime we Instagram something, I'm like, Christopher, just do this. Just put it out there.
Are my hashtags okay, Christopher?
Yeah. What are all the things I should be tagging in this right now?
We need a manager.
Right. What's another really interesting part of the band is there's a huge age gap. As well, because I mean,
small to medium age gap. Right?
Thank you, Devin.
It's pretty huge.
Gold star for Devin. Devin for the save.
Okay, what Christopher's trying to say is, I'm the oldest. By far.
I was going to say, I'm not going to say how old anyone is, but there is an age gap that is present.
my friend's Hobo Empire. Who are in the Battle of Bush this year.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Little segue. Their drummer, he passed away recently, but Harvey is Gus's uncle, and he was like probably 40 years older or something like that than the band, than the rest of the guys in the band. But he's a great drummer, but it was just funny to sometimes the
you expect a little bit more similar.
But he was great and he really loved the music and wanted to play and like and stuff. So it was fun though. But so I mean, yeah, there's no rules to anything. I mean, music's medium.
Yeah, and our age gap is not that.
Well, yeah,
it's
sure. No, I'm not saying.
I'll admit that. But. All right.
The youngest one points it out.
Yeah, that's true. Sure.
That's telling.
The baby.
Right?
Yeah. So young.
I was thinking too when you were talking earlier about meeting your radio personalities and stuff. My brain for movie quotes went to Wayne's World whenever they meet Handsome Dan and like I'm not Handsome Dan, that's Handsome Dan. Like
that's awesome.
That whole scene's been replaying in my head as you guys were telling us. But yeah, anyway, so we agreed on Light on the Mast, right?
Sure.
That's what we said.
Why not?
Let's do it.
So stick around for that. From the EP, pick up a copy. What's the Fade?
TheFadeMusic.com.
Yeah. And of course, Bandcamp, iTunes. Stream it on Spotify, and or pick up a physical copy online. Are the physical copies online also, or just at shows?
No, you can through.
Through CD Baby.
Through CD Baby, you can.
It's kind of pricey though. You should come to our show.
Come to our show.
Yeah,
we'll get you one.
There's digital downloads online,
right?
And then you can
And again, the shows are May 20th at America's Tavern and May 27th at Melt. On Cherokee. So come out and see these guys.
We will have EPs and t-shirts at both of those gigs.
And high fives.
And high fives.
Free high
fives.
Free
high fives. For the first 10 people.
That's it. We're all out of high fives.
That's right. Got to
have to play. I mean, we don't
want to. We can somewhere.
We can't.
Well, cool. Well, this has been great. I mean, I have really enjoyed...
Cool.
Good to meet you all and hang out, and so thanks for taking some time out and inviting me over. And
no, thank you.
This has been cool. So. I will see you all 20th or 27th. I'll be at one of those.
Nice. Awesome.
I'll come party.
Bring everyone you know.
Bring my dancing shoes.
That's the way to do it.
So, all right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
That's the only take done. That's it.
Done.
Done.